Easter season as we continue the Easter celebration. And of course, Easter is about victory. It's about the victory of forgiveness and the victory of life. And these are connected. Because you see, just as sin leads to death, so forgiveness leads to life. Easter life. Victorious life. It's a life we enjoy right here, right now. In the midst of sin. In the midst of the storm. In the midst of evil and injustice that unfortunately continues, even as we face giants, Goliaths, in our lives. That's what we talked about last week. This week, our focus is that this life, this Easter life, is so powerful, so real, that even the grave cannot hinder it. Even the grave cannot stop it. The life we have in Christ is, in fact, eternal life. We celebrate that and celebrate that it's ours because of Easter. Our text for today is actually from one of the readings last week. It's from Philippians chapter, it's from 1 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 1. And read this follows. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through him, God has given us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept safe for you in heaven. This is our text. In our church, and in most churches, the cross has central place. It is the centerpiece. It has a central place in our preaching, our teaching, our confessing, and even in our facilities, our buildings. And that's quite intentional. That's quite on purpose. Because Christ is what it's all about. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate his life and death and resurrection, all done perfectly, all done for us, and the consequence of that, which is life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. There's a story told about a boy over a century ago now. And this little boy fell into an old abandoned well. He fell far. He fell deep. He was stuck. Fortunately, his brother was with him. His brother saw the whole thing, and his brother immediately ran for help. And soon, some 200 people from the town showed up, all to help rescue the little boy. All sorts of tools and equipment, and they began to work to rescue that boy. But they had to work smart. They had to work well, indeed, perfectly, because it would be incredibly easy for that well to collapse, to crush the boy, to kill the boy. But they did work smart, and they did work perfectly. And after 2 days and two nights, the boy was rescued. The boy was in the arms of his dad as all those people had gathered, applauded, and celebrated this great event. But the boy was focused on all those people, all that equipment, those mounds of dirt. And the boy looked to his father, and the boy said, Daddy, was all of this done for me? And the father smiled and hugged his son and said, Yes, this was all done for you. The cross serves a similar purpose for us. Because you see, we fell into sin. We fell far. We were stuck, unable to do anything about it. But God saw our situation, and God came to rescue us. He came in the person of Jesus Christ, and he had to be smart. He had to do this perfectly. But so he did. He led a perfect life and death and resurrection. And through all that he did, he rescued us, granting us the forgiveness of sins and now life. The cross reminds us to look at all that God did for us and to ask, Father, was all this done for me? And an opportunity for God to say, yes. My dear son, my precious daughter, this was all done for you. And then for us to live joyously, gladly, truly, a new life. Listen to the words of our text. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in his great mercy, he has given to us a new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through Jesus Christ, he has given to us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. An inheritance kept safe for you in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read, through Jesus Christ, we have a permanent building from God, an eternal house in heaven, built not by human hands. And in Philippians chapter 3, we read, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, there's four things I want you to notice about that. First thing is, notice it's a gift. This new life is a gift. Our text says it's all because of God's great mercy. Mercy, not getting what we deserved. It's because of God's mercy. Our text says, that God has given it to us. Elsewhere, Paul says it is the free gift of God. And it says, not built by human hands. It's a gift. Gift of life. The second thing I want you to notice is the present tense of all of this. The present tense. We have this inheritance. We are citizens of heaven. It's already ours. Think of it this way. You have the presidential suite at the Four Seasons Hotel. The reservations have been made and confirmed. God himself has paid the total cost involved. The room has been all readied, and you're already checked in. You're just still in the lobby. It is already ours. We are already citizens of heaven. Notice it's all a gift. Notice it's present. And notice it's permanent. The permanent aspect of all of this. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. A permanent building from God. An eternal house from home in heaven. fourth thing I want you to notice is the certainty of all this. The bold confidence there is in all of this. The surety there is in this. Robert Schuller of Crystal Cathedral fame. Robert Schuller wrote in one of his books something that happened very early in his ministry. One of his parishioners died, and he went to visit the husband of the now deceased. Came to the house, knocked on the front door, the widower opened it, and trying to be as pious as he could, Robert Schuller said, "I am so sorry for the loss of your wife." And the parishioner looked at him and said, "Loss? What do you mean, loss? She's not lost. I know exactly where she is." Robert Schuller commented he never again used that expression. There is a confidence, a certainty in all of this. You know, it's interesting that the Bible actually says very little about heaven. I imagine that's because, you know, our puny, finite minds just can't really wrap itself around these things. My suspicion is our finite minds simply can't understand this heavenly spiritual reality. Nonetheless, God gave to the Apostle John a vision of heaven. And John recorded it. It reads as follows. "I heard what sounded like a great multitude shouting, 'Hallelujah! Our Lord reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us give to him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, has been given to her to wear.' And then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. To him who is thirsty, I will give him free drink from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this. And I will be his God, and he will be my child. I'm certain these are but human analogies, faint images, earthly attempts to describe heavenly realities, but it gives us a glimpse into the glory, the wonder, the beauty, the miracle that awaits us. And it's all ours through Jesus Christ. It's all ours because of Easter. Otto just came home from the hospital. The doctors said there was nothing more they could do for him. The doctors said he had but weeks to live. Now, Gertrude had always been a strong Christian and active church member, but not Otto. Otto didn't consider himself an atheist or anything like that. But he really didn't consider himself a Christian either. Otto had been a steel worker in the mills of Pittsburgh for nearly 50 years. Good union man. A strong man in every sense of that word. He had been a law-abiding citizen, always faithful to his wife, a good provider for the kids. But God was not a part of his life. Because Gertrude knew that Otto was dying, she asked her pastor if he would call on him when he could and when he happened to be in the neighborhood. And of course, the pastor did. In fact, Otto and the pastor struck up quite a good friendship. When the pastor came, he would go into the bedroom and he would pull up his chair right up next to the bed. And he and Otto would talk about all kinds of miscellaneous things, sincerely enjoying each other's company. There were just a couple unusual things about these gatherings. First of all, Otto always referred to him as Chappie, probably short for chaplain, maybe going back to his Navy days. And the other thing is, Otto would always hold the pastor's hand. He would hold the pastor's hand the whole time. On one of those visits, Otto looked to the pastor and said, "Chappie, tell me, how does a Christian pray?" And the pastor said, "Well, really, prayer is just talking to God, just sharing what's in your heart, what's on your mind." "Kind of strange talking to somebody who's not there," Otto replied. "Well, I'll tell you what. When we're done, I'll leave my chair right here, right next to your bed. And if you ever feel like praying, just envision Jesus sitting in my chair, just as I am, and talk to him just as you do me." But Otto didn't seem too convinced. The next time the pastor came over, Gertrude pulled him tight, pulled him close, and said, "Pastor, there's something strange going on. Otto is in his room all alone, and he talks loud. I say, 'Who are you talking to?' And he says, 'It's none of your business.'" During that visit, Otto said, "Chappie, tell me, how does a Christian die?" And the pastor said, "A Christian puts his hand in the hand of Jesus. A Christian places his trust, his reliance in Jesus as his Savior." "Then what?" "Then he wakes up in heaven." But Otto didn't seem to buy it. A few days later, the pastor received a morning phone call. It was from Gertrude. She reported that Otto had died during the night. And the two of them talked about all of that. And when the conversation seemed finished, when it seemed like they were about to say goodbye, Gertrude added something. She said, and Pastor, it was strange. He was all curled up on the side of his bed, and he had his hand on your chair." And the pastor said, "Then I know exactly where he is." "So do I. So do you. And it's all certain. And it's all because of Easter." Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.